AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
It's a busy time of the year for corn growers. Got the crop going in the ground, and we've got a lot of farm state lawmakers, non-farm state lawmakers in place, deciding on some legislation. They're in session and making decisions, and the National Corn Growers Association is there trying to do some education. And we're going to find out what's on the top of the priority list at NCGA right now from Harold Woolley. Harold is the president of the National Corn Growers Association up in Minnesota. How are you, Harold?
Real good, Chip. Nice rainy morning here. There's been some crops planted in southern Minnesota, so a little rain will get them started.
You bet. You bet. I was going to ask if you got rained out this morning. I'm glad we're not just pulling you out of the field.
It's the weather that has me sitting in the office today, but every so often you need a day in the office.
There you go. Okay, let's talk about a couple of things on the priority list there at NCGA. I know that you sent Ken into D.C. here not too long ago to talk about the Federal Agriculture Risk Management Enhancement and Resiliency Act, the Farmer Act. It's sponsored by Senator John Hoeven out of North Dakota. But it's about crop insurance. What exactly is this about, Harold?
Well, it's about increasing the premium support level for certain plans of insurance.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, it would increase the premium support for revenue protection and yield protection policies at the 80% coverage level from 68% to 77%, at the 85% coverage level from 53% to 68%. Okay. And it would also change the coverage level and premium subsidy under the supplemental coverage option. So it increases the premium support for the supplemental coverage option from 65% to 80% and increases the SCO coverage level from 86% to 90%. So just some enhancements for crop insurance. As you well know, crop insurance is the number one risk management tool that our nation's corn farmers have. And NCGA is always supportive of improving crop insurance. So that's what Senator Hoeven's bill would do.
Yeah, and basically what it does is it kind of just updates it and gets it up to date with reality on what's happening out there on the farm and the risk that producers are facing, right?
Absolutely. We are entering a period of lower profitability, and that increases our risk. So to have these tools in our toolbox is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that going to be a standalone, Harold, or would that be tagged on to the farm bill if we can see any progress there?
Well, as I understand it, this is primarily a marker bill that gets these ideas out in front of Congress. And then I do believe that the changes would need to be made in the farm bill.
Okay. All right. Are you hearing anything on the farm bill as far as what the timing is going to be? The latest that we've heard, Harold, is that House Ag Committee Chairman Thompson, Glenn Thompson, hopes to have the chairman or chairman's mark out by the middle of May. That is kind of the next step that we need to see taken in this. Is that right?
I believe you are correct, and that is what NCGA folks are hearing as well, too.
Okay.
Nothing written down has been released yet. So, yeah, we're hoping they are compromising and going to make some progress on this farm bill and get her done. At least, it's not like they are saying, hey, we're not going to deal with this until after the election. So I'm very glad that Chairman Thompson and everybody involved on the House and Senate Ag Committee are wanting to get this done this spring.
Right, right. Okay. Let's talk about a couple of EPA issues, because one of them, well, I guess this one isn't an EPA issue. It's the International Trade Commission. You were in D.C. not that long ago testifying on why it's important to why imports of 2,4-D and other crop protection tools are important. Tell us about that trip.
Well, Corteva has filed a petition with the International Trade Commission to have anti-dumping and countervailing duties applied to imports of 2,4-D acid from India and China. So an anti-dumping duty is levied when a product is being imported below the cost of production. A countervailing duty is implemented when a country's government unfairly subsidizes the production of that commodity. So Corteva is maintaining that both of those situations apply to imports of the 2,4-D acid from both of those countries. If that would happen, it would increase the cost of 2,4-D to our nation's corn and soybean farmers, to all of our farmers. So, you know, we don't use a lot of 2,4-D, but it's an important part of a conservation system. If we're going to burn down the weeds before we plant, 2,4-D is one of the staple commodities that's used to pesticides that used to control those broadleaf weeds. So yeah, a very important long time chemical that we need to have in our toolbox at an at a reasonable price. You know, here again, as this cost price squeeze affects the nation's farmers, this becomes more and more important that we have access to these tools at affordable prices.
Yeah, it's it so many times it feels like there are rules and regulations that get in the way of affordability on some of these products, and this is the potential here again. Let's talk about EPA's tailpipe rule, because, Harold, this just feels like a mess. The administration keeps proposing what seem to be extremely difficult to reach EV use goals, electric vehicle use goals. And while they're doing that, they're ignoring the potential tailpipe emission reductions from using ethanol, higher blends of ethanol. You know, the, reducing the tailpipe emissions is a goal that we can get behind. It's just the administration's proposals to achieve those goals are kind of a big problem, because they're ignoring the higher blends of ethanol, right?
I agree. You know, if we want to decarbonize the transportation system right now, we need to use more ethanol, because ethanol has a lower carbon intensity score than straight up gasoline. So, and I always like to say, we know how to grow the feedstock corn. We know how to process it. We've got our biorefineries in place. We know how to store the corn. We know how to store the ethanol. We know we've got the distribution system in place. Electricity has tremendous problems in all those arenas. So we're ready right now. We need to use higher blends.
Yeah, and part of the problem for the electricity, and I'll say it for you here, it's just the manufacturing of the batteries and distribution of those batteries and the wear and tear and roads and everything that comes into play with those batteries. So it's it is not as clear cut as or as easy as the administration is trying to make it out to be, with their idea that we just go to EVs and all problems will be solved. So need to follow the path here and connect the dots. Part of that is the pathway for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuel market. Harold, any progress there?
You know, we are anxiously awaiting the what the GREET modeling is going to contain. I certainly advocate that corn can be grown to be a low carbon fuel for feedstock for the aviation fuel industry, and I think there's a number of other folks that realize that too. So we need to get the modeling right so that low carbon corn qualifies as the feedstock. Yeah. And I'm hopeful that that's going to happen. And, you know, we've been anxiously awaiting the release of this agreed model. And although at the same time, I think it behooves all of us to have a little patience so that it gets done right. You know, it's a different can of worms when you're dealing with Treasury and a tax credit. You know, tax fraud is a very serious issue, and we want this to be able to move forward and farmers not have to worry about being out of compliance with the tax code.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Fair point. We've only got about 30 seconds, but I want to touch this real quick. Efforts to remove Brazil's tariffs on imports of U.S. ethanol. Any chance that that's going to happen?
I don't know. We need to emphasize that again and again. Brazil charges us an 18% tariff for our ethanol going into their country, and we only charge them 2.4%. That's not right.
Yeah, it certainly is not. Harold, good luck this spring. Stay safe, and we'll talk with you again soon, okay?
Talk to you later, Chip.
You bet. Harold Woolley, president of the National Corn Growers Association. Okay, we're going to check in with Brian Grady and the markets here in just a moment. And then it's time for a conversation with Jordan Fife from BioErgy here on AgriTalk.